It's Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickert. You're with us on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Coming up on Central Time, Governor Walker announced a new proposal last week to begin performance-based funding at the UW system. We'll take a closer look. First, it's Labor Day in the United States. People are cooking out, getting ready to head back to school and relaxing on the unofficial end of summer. But while Labor Day today can feel like it's about the beginning of fall, its origins in the United States tell a different story. Historian Kenneth Davis joins us now to fill us in. He's the author of Don't Know Much About History, Everything You Need to Know About American History But Never Learned. Ken, welcome to Central Time.
It is a great pleasure to be with you. Thank you for having me, and happy Labor Day, I suppose. Some of us are working, though.
Some of us are working, and it's an interesting callback, though, to the origins of Labor Day and how it got its start in the United States. Tell us about those the very first Labor Day. How did it happen?
Well, it actually was on this date, September 5th, in New York City, in America at least, in 1882. Unions decided to call for a day off. That was a pretty radical thing to do at the time. And they wanted a day off not to just have a picnic, but to really have a chance to organize, protest in favor of some of the things that they were working for in those days. And that means the end of what were horrific conditions, 12-hour work days, 6-day weeks, certainly no benefits, no unemployment. Child labor was commonplace throughout the United States of America, and children did often the most dangerous and dirty work because they were small. They could get into the crevices of coal mines or get into the backs of looms in big factories. So it was really a nightmarish time to be a working man or woman or child in America. And that began a long and violent period of labor unrest in America, highlighted by a number of very serious and sometimes deadly riots. Haymarket Square in Chicago, the Homestead Riot, the Pullman Strike. And it was after that last one, the Pullman Strike, which was in the 1890s, that Grover Cleveland, the president, thought he'd just kind of throw a sop to the working man and create a holiday on the first Monday in September. And that's why we celebrate Labor Day where we do.
And so Grover Cleveland signed Labor Day into law. What did that mean for labor rights? Did that mean it was a done deal, these things that workers were looking for that you described? Or how much more work was there after that?
Far, far from it. And, of course, the path to a national Labor Day holiday. And the September date is important, by the way, because it was initially chosen by the union organizers in 1882 as a day midway between the 4th of July and Thanksgiving Day, about the only other holidays that most working people could expect to get in those days. And that didn't even mean a paid holiday. It just means that the factories were closed. But in the meantime had come the Haymarket Square riot in 1884, 2 years later. And that happened in May. And while many countries around the world have adopted May Day as the International Workers' Day of Solidarity in honor of the martyrs of Haymarket Square, the union leaders who were unjustly and incorrectly executed for their part in this deadly riot, the United States decided we'll put Labor Day in September and keep it far away from any recognition of the martyrs of Haymarket Square.
Is that to avoid any kind of political unrest that might be associated with that day?
That's right. They didn't want, and the unions were rather content to go along with that. They didn't want this to become a kind of radicalized recognition of a day of death and destruction, but rather a day to celebrate the spirit of the working man, as they would have put it back then. The problem is, of course, that it was a holiday, but none of the things that most union organizers were struggling for, and the struggle was very, very violent, and usually the companies had the full participation and full cooperation of the federal government as well as state and local governments in suppressing strikes, continued for a long time. It's not until the 1930s during the Great Depression that most of the things that unions were fighting for came to pass as in terms of federal labor laws, like an eight-hour day and an end to child labor. So this was a long and bitter civil war in America in the long period after the American Civil War in the sense of North and South. But this was a war between business and working people, and the businesses usually had the complete compliance of the government in putting down these strikes. As I mentioned, Grover Cleveland had suppressed a strike of the Pullman Car Company, one of the country's largest manufacturers at the time. Cleveland sent 12,000 federal troops the Chicago area to break the strike on the premise that the strike interfered with the U.S. mail, which was a bit of a stretch.
Right, and you had mentioned that that he signed Labor Day into law to maybe quell any sort of political upheaval about that. Did it work at the time?
Well, it was also, I think we would call it today, a kind of a bone toss to the labor movement, and Cleveland certainly hoped it would help with his reelection campaign, and in that it was not successful. The working men, who were the only ones who could vote, obviously, at the time, had a long enough memory that they didn't particularly care for Grover Cleveland's simply giving them a day off. They wanted the things that they were really trying to do at the time, and organizing and getting those basic fundamental rights, including a decent living wage, were what the unions were fighting for at the time. And I think it's important that we look back at this and remember, and we enjoy it as a holiday of the last fling of summertime, but it really is this moment that's born in tremendous blood, sweat, and tears, and it's a moment that's largely forgotten and overlooked, and the whole relationship of labor and business these days is a serious issue, and certainly one that's not being discussed in the campaign.
We're talking right now with Kenneth Davis about the history of Labor Day. He's a historian and the author of Don't Know Much About History. And Ken, how has Labor Day and the way we celebrate it, the way we perceive it and remember it, how has that changed over time?
Well, certainly in the early days of the Labor Day movement in the early 20th century, right up into the, I would say, into the 1950s and 60s, this was much more, still much more of a union organizing day. And being in New York City, where I am, and I'm speaking to you from New York, where the first Labor Day in America was celebrated, as I mentioned, in 1882, it used to be a big union day, and there were major union parades to express that solidarity and continue organizing and fighting for the union's aims. You know, by the end of the 60s and certainly going into the 70s, the country changed a great deal in terms of its attitudes about unionism. I think unions, trade unions, were the victims of their own success in some respects. They were also troubled, of course, by the charges of corruption in unions like the Teamsters in particular. So union membership, which was very strong up until the 1950s and 60s, started to fade. I believe it's down to around 12 million union members today. The largest single union is still the teachers union.
Thank you so much for joining us today and sharing the history of Labor Day. Appreciate your time.
Thank you so much, and I do hope that some of the candidates start to talk about these issues because they're important ones.
Ken, thanks for joining us. Ken Davis, historian and the author of Don't Know Much About History, Everything You Need to Know About American History But Never Learn. And he was with us today to talk about the history of Labor Day in the United States and also a look there at how it changed over the years. Coming up, we'll talk to a reporter about Governor Walker's proposal to fund the UW system based on performance. Stay with us here on Central Time.